Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. This is Pandemic Mania. We are in the midst of a mask fest. Get your mask on, get your popcorn out. Ben Casanelia with you. Tom King is also joining me riding shotgun. King, have they made those masks that you can just push the button and it pops open and you can just flick your popcorn straight in or not?
I don't think so. I don't think they're the ones they're recommending you wear, Benny. I think they want you to have the cloth thing that's, you know, really up close to your face. So
a pair of sort of underpants just with a strap around them.
They've talked about that. They've talked about socks. People have used socks.
Yeah.
Have you got your masks yet?
Would it be out of line to maybe just sort of explode a piece of... I probably can't say that because we'll get put off air. I wouldn't have thought. We'll be in a bit of trouble on the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. It's, I don't know what day it is. It's footy festival started.
It's Thursday we're talking.
Is it?
So we're 3 days after the Cats beat Freo and we're 2 days before they play the Eagles.
Okay. Was it a good effort against the Dockers?
It was... The phrase came to play gets thrown out of... They've come to play gets trotted out willy-nilly. But the Cats... rolled the sleeves up. That's the best way to describe it. They looked at the conditions, they knew it was going to be tough, and they just wanted the footy more than the Dockers, and that was on show from the first minute. From the moment that Brad Close did in his first 30 seconds at Jake Colajasny, he hasn't been able to do in 98 games.
He kicked a goal. Well, Jake had a chance.
Oh, wow.
And he fluffed it.
It was guilt-edged.
Yeah, he fluffed
25 metres out. Harry Taylor was furiously trying to dry the Sharon to make sure it was just perfect for him to kick with, and he still sprayed it to the right.
He would have been ruining that night. That was the only dampener for the night.
That was the only
other than the weather.
And it absolutely hoovered down at times,
yeah,
too.
It was track heavy.
But that was, in terms of a... You know, missing a few guns.
Yeah.
Selwood, Ablett.
Yeah.
Duncan only back after an 18-day break. You know, missing Clark. They gave Constable a go, and he showed why he's in their best 22. Fogarty actually played really well. People will look at Fogarty's performance, and they'll just look at raw numbers, but what he does is bigger than raw numbers.
Yeah, he has a little bit of sort of X factor.
Yeah.
Hate that. I mean, hate that term, but... Yeah, he does. You're right. And those players that can influence the game without getting huge numbers, they're sort of worth their weight in gold, really. They're the ones that keep the wheels turning. I mean, Richmond have a few. St Kilda now have one who is a former Tiger in Butler.
Yep.
You know, they're not getting massive numbers, but they just cause or force things to happen when they get around.
Even Papley.
I mean, even we watched the game last night and Chol.
Mm.
You know, he probably only had about 7 possessions. But when he gets near the ball, you get a bit of
movement.
I don't know if you have movement. Well, I haven't ever had movement from a footballer, but he's just exciting. And yeah, look, I think Fogarty is... And he's probably body shape now is AFL ready.
Well, he's probably had some time to spend
in
the
gym. Yeah, that's it. And that's sometimes can be the real upside. If you've got a player who's prepared to work and thinks, okay, well, I'm not playing, and I'm out injured or whatever it is, and I'm in the twos, but I'm prepared to work to get my body up, which is probably what most kids have to.
Yep.
And he's done that. Now he comes in and his body's ready. Now it's just giving him as much experience as you can. So let's hope he plays well again on... He hasn't got great leg speed, has he?
Fogarty?
Yeah.
He's not the slowest. He's not.
Is he going to be a midfielder or is he going to be that half forward?
Oh, no, I think he'll be a midfielder eventually.
How tall is he?
170.
He's not tall, is he?
No, he's taller than you think.
Well, 170. Oh, I'm 177.
Yeah, no, he's a bit taller than that. He'd be around the 180-ish.
So he's short. Yeah, relatively short in AFL terms.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I just wonder what position he will get to.
I think he can play in the midfield because he uses the footy well too.
He's got a slightly awkward kicking style, hasn't he?
Yeah, but effective.
Yeah. Yes. He holds the ball a bit sort of...
No, they were
funny.
They were good, the Cats. As much as people will look at that game and go, oh, gee, 6-2, that's not much of a game of footy. It actually was absorbing because the Cats just kept throwing everything at the Dockers, and the Dockers tried hard to repel. And during the broadcast, we had Mark Neild and Brendan McCartney on, and both said, the damn wall will eventually burst. And it did. The Cats just didn't kick straight. Like they kick, what did they kick, 6-12? They kick 9-9 or, you know, 10-8. Then that's a hiding. And it still was, in those conditions, a 32-point win probably translates to 10 goals.
Yeah, I love a hiding.
So the Cats now sit, well, they were third, they dropped back to fourth and now face an Eagles side. And you and I watched the Eagles just dismantle Collingwood.
Oh, wow, that was pretty impressive.
I don't think there's been better footy played this year than what we saw in the second half.
Who goes to Kennedy?
Well, who plays in the ruck for Geelong? It has to. Radicalea can't go against Nat Nui alone.
No, it's
yeah. So Blitzarves is going to have to spend some time in the ruck.
There's a lot of question marks over the Cats, isn't it, going to this week?
See, right now I'm giving
no sell,
and I'm quite happy to say I'm happy if the Cats go. Do you know what? We're not winning this. So, you know, Tom Hawkins, I know he's beaten that suspension.
Oh, we were first.
No,
here.
We weren't first.
We were second.
We were second, and then
and we got into trouble.
We got into second. We got a bit of a pile on. Anyway, if he had have been suspended, I wouldn't have been concerned about that because this was. No AFL team goes in not trying to win. But sometimes you just got to go, Eagles rampaging, Optus Stadium, 30,000 people, weather fine probably. That you maybe focus on what's coming beyond that.
I don't like that though. You got to. I know where you're coming from and I'm not. You know, I know exactly the angle you're taking. I just think that that's not a great message to send to the team. Okay.
But you'd never say that.
No, but the players, no. You're not playing players or, you know, whatever it is. They've run the white flag up the pole, the coaching staff, suggesting we can't beat this mob. What about if you do win? What about if you have a crack with some kids? And what could that garner for the rest of the year if you got a... So to just run the flag up the pole and say, well, we can't win.
You still have a crack, but you have a crack with a different looking lineup.
Yeah, but that's sort of, if you're going to do that, you're not giving, deep down, you're not giving yourself every chance to win if you're taking blokes out who could potentially play and help you win. I just reckon I think you've just got to...
But every player's
play, you've got to play the team that is the best team, that's available, that's fit and healthy and not sore at all. I mean, they're going to be a little
bit
sore.
Some sore boys.
Yeah, but...
Especially after Monday night.
Play your best team and see what happens. If that translates into a 10-goal loss, okay, that's not ideal. What if it happened... If it was a 5-point win, goodness me, with a youngish team, and suddenly you're growing some legs in the hub.
Yeah.
And the Cats apparently having Kingy... I don't know whether this is true or not because I haven't had it confirmed, but... Apparently they're having Christmas in July, the Cats.
Are they?
They're doing Christmas in July.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I don't know exactly how that is.
When are they doing that?
Well, I don't know.
Because July's got 2 days left.
Yeah, well, they're having Christmas, apparently. And I heard this from my source, and this is a 7-year-old.
Oh, right.
Who said... Geelong are doing Christmas, and I didn't. I wasn't able to delve any deeper than that, Kingy.
Well, you can't really delve deeper. But it's 7-year-old.
No, and the Christmas. I don't know how it's happening, but we might try and find out what they're doing. Okay. Who's Santa? Who do you reckon might be Santa? Matty Knights.
Cookie.
Wow. Not sure. Cookie. I'm not sure Santa has ever come in in a soft top. His bearded blow all over
and
the place.
And up to swimming 5Ks that morning.
After Rotten Est. Yeah, no, I don't know about Cookie being Santa. But yeah, look, anyway, they're the rumours, but okay. I don't know how Santa looks.
I was going to say, it's 2 days left.
We did hear, didn't we, last night, if you weren't listening to K-Rock footy, like after the game, Tom Lonigan dropped one of the great stories
The Nathan Ablett story.
Of all time.
Can you retell it?
So we were getting... a little bit long in the tooth after last night's game, and Richmond had pulled the Bulldogs' pants down and just absolutely spanked them red raw. And we were talking, obviously we had Tom Lonigan in the expert's chair, and we're talking about cat stories. You got any funny cat stories? We were just trying to sort of wind the show up a little bit with a bit of a laugh. And he said, I've got a couple. And one was that when Brenton Sanderson was an assistant coach at Geelong, he must have stayed late to do some work, probably doing some, what do they call it?
Coding.
Yeah, something like that. Coding, editing. And he must have been sort of, the eyes must have been starting to dim. So he went over, he wanted to go in to have a cup of tea. So he went to the urn. And he put his tea bag in, and then he pulled the lever on the urn, expecting to see some wonderful, just hot boiling water. And the water was orange. And he looked into his cup, and he thought, "What's happening here?" So he lifted up the lid of the urn, And lo and behold, in the urn was a pumpkin. And it had been placed there by Nathan Ablett, who was cooking his vegetables in it. You cannot believe that that has actually happened.
Yes, no, I can.
And what about the other story he told about Norm Dare?
Yeah.
Norm Dare, was it the best and fairest?
So, season launch.
Season launch. Norm Dare, the assistant coach.
Former assistant coach, who coached the Brisbane Bears.
Who loved, I think he had one eye on the form goal, one eye on the nags, and the one the eye on the middle on the footy.
Yep.
He launched to the season launch in a suit, I assume.
Yes.
And he didn't have any shoes to accompany his suit.
No black shoes.
So he wore a pair of grass cats, and he rubbed he got a texter, and he rubbed out the logo, the Nike logo, on his grass cats and wore them to the season launch. That is quite extraordinary.
We look ahead to Saturday night.
That's some very good stories.
That's not bad for
the
you.
Pumpkin in the urn. Well, they weren't my stories. The pumpkin in the urn is quite extraordinary. Yeah,
that's a good yarn. The cats, so the skipper. So Chris Scott today faced the media, talked about the skipper.
Faced the media. Sounds like he's like on trial.
Sometimes you are. Some coaches it felt like they have been over the years, correct, in some journos. Joel Selwood won't play. They'll go the conservative approach.
They couldn't possibly play him.
So that saves him.
I know you think he will, but I don't know that he'll play on Wednesday, next Wednesday.
He will.
Okay, well, I mean, I hope he does, but I just think there's got to be a little risk, 20 days.
The skipper was bullish about on Monday night.
Yeah, but I reckon he could have lost both limbs, legs and arms, and maybe missing one ear.
And he'd still play.
And he'd say, yeah, I'm right, I'm good to go, I'm fit.
Yep.
Which is exactly what Tom Lonigan said. So in Joel's case, he's the one that probably needs the medical staff to take it out of his hand and say, you're not playing.
Yep.
Because if you leave it up to him, he would have been out there last week, probably.
Nah, still no Reece Stanley, still no Josh Jenkins, so that takes...
We're not saying Josh Jenkins. He's not playing.
You don't think Josh Jenkins will play a game for Geelong?
No chance. No, he's unless Hawkins, Radaglia, Kruger are all injured, he's not playing for the Gats.
What's the name of your nag?
What?
What's the name of your horse?
Name of our horse?
Yeah.
Glassy Miss.
I'll bet you're sharing that Josh Jenkins plays at some stage.
Well, do you reckon they'll play him to justify getting him? Where position would he be playing?
Well, probably in the ruck.
In the ruck? He is less physical than... He's not physical. He is zero physicality.
That's probably the only
place. He can't play in the ruck.
Unless they rest Hawkins.
Well, they rest Hawkins and put Josh Jenkins in. That is white flag being run up pole.
But Hawkins won't play every game in this
block. Well, I reckon he will. He is a tough old stayer, the 3,200 metres. I guarantee you. When was the last time he got left out of a game? Any game?
Well, because he always seems to find a way to get suspended during
the season. Well, other than that.
No, but
he plays all the preseason games. He plays all the practice. He's in every... when they go to the Gold Coast every second year to play the old... Well, I don't know. I forget the name of the series. It probably should be called the Escort Cup.
The Marsh Series.
Yeah, whatever. He's the one that ends up going to the Gold Coast with all the 15-year-olds.
Mm.
He never misses. He is as fit and as ready to go.
You think he plays?
I reckon he will play through, because I agree with Tommy Lonigan that he is Geelong's most important player.
No, he's crucial.
But I reckon he plays through, because unless he was to cop a knock, yep, you know, not an other than just a normal footy knock,
yep,
you know, corky or some sort of injury,
yep,
I reckon he plays.
Okay.
And I'd love to see.
And I hope that's the case.
Now, I reckon he's one that can just play right through. Blitzarves will play through.
I'll tell you who we will.
Because they're the two most important players.
I'll tell you who we'll see in the next few weeks.
Cockatoo.
Yeah.
I saw a little bit of vision of, I don't know who they were highlighting on something, some social media, the Cats. Must have played a scratch match, did they?
Yeah, against Freo.
Yeah, and they were highlighting, is it Ockenbaugh?
Yes, definitely.
Back Ockenbaugh. After having a lobotomy, back after 6 months.
He had the Achilles.
Oh, right, that was a different area.
Yes.
Yeah, he had an Achilles lobotomy.
He had a ruptured Achilles.
Oh,
yes.
The old ruptured Achilles. Do you know one day at Inside Footy, when I worked at Inside Footy, we had this guy, and his name was Dean Lupton, and he used to have his body shape was a bit like a half-filled beanbag. And
right.
So one time I was a little bit bored, and you know how I get bored and things start to can go a bit pear-shaped.
Yes, Ben, I'm aware of that.
When I was doing the injury, I had to do an injury report and Inside Footy for the Cats. So you do a little, like a one page on the Cats, and it sort of wraps up their week and yep, blah, blah, blah. So all the I had to do a thing for all the players that played. Then you had to put in a list of players. And anyway, in the end, at the end, I just put Geelong's injury list. I just put Dean Lupton, and I put in brackets. You know what his injury was? Ruptured bean bag. It got in. I think he's still got it in his wallet. He was out of the Cats lineup with a ruptured beanbag.
You wonder why.
Oh, yeah.
Things came to an end.
It was very funny. No, this is long before that happened.
Okay.
But what were we talking about?
Cockatoo.
Cockatoo. So I did see a little bit of vision him in that stuff when they were highlighting Ockhambor. Only, mind you, it was only glimpses. But
he's well put together.
Who is?
Cocky.
Yeah. So have you heard any other rumours out of the Cats? Is he still on track? Obviously
he's on track. They expect him to play in this next bunch of games.
So in the next 3 weeks, yep. You mean we're going to see the number five again for the Cats?
Correct.
Oh, wow. That'd be fantastic. He's the next factor. I know he's been out of the game a long time. It'll probably take him a bit to find his feet.
And that's what Chris Scott said today. He said Cats fans who expect miracles straight away aren't going to get them.
No, they will, but he will hurt someone. Yes. That's what we like. He's got some X factor.
Yep.
And he just needs to try to get him to get 4 games under his belt.
Yep.
A little bit of confidence, just look slow progression, a little bit better each week, or even if he comes in okay in the first game, a bit down in the second. He's the bloke that gives Geelong... He's Geelong, okay, this is a big call.
Yep.
Okay. And he's a different sort of... Different.
This is a man who's played 30-odd games.
Yeah. He is like a Dusty Martin to Geelong. What he can do. Now, I'm not saying he'll be there now because hasn't played for 1,000 years.
But Dusty wasn't doing that in his first 30
years. No, but this kid has got some serious, serious tricks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And he's so physical.
Yep.
He's got some, the words you're not allowed to say.
Yeah. He's got some mongrel about him, Ben.
He has.
Yep.
And he said that.
Yep.
And that's what the coaches are putting in. He's got that bit of, because let's put it this way, I mean, Grian Myers is probably having a little bit of a struggle.
Yeah, he's not playing his best
footy. No, but he'll work through that. It's going to happen to anyone. But he's not a physical player. He's an outside player, and that's his role. That's fine.
Does he get rested potentially?
Gary Rowan's not physical, really. He fights for the ball and he tackles a bit, but he's not a physical player. He's not going to...
So back on Myers, will Myers get a rest at some stage potentially?
Well, I wouldn't have thought. He's the one that runs like a frightened farmer. And he plays that outside role where he's not a lot of body contact. Mm. I'm not having a go at him. That's how he plays.
Yep.
Yeah, but... So I don't know. I reckon as long as his form, he just needs to kick a couple of goals. Mm. It'd be nice, get his confidence back a little bit. But they're not an overly physical forward line.
No.
But Cockatoo's physical. Mm. He's Byron Pickett.
Mm. Bang.
And he can mark it, and he can kick a goal, and he can run away from you, and he can hurt you. And that's what we love. What else are we talking about?
Well, last thing we're going to talk about, because we're running to a tight schedule.
We are.
Tim Kelly, what do the Cats do? I know they've got Kelly and they've got Sheed and they've got Gaff and they've got Shuey.
Yep.
And the list goes on.
My theory will be, I reckon Tim Kelly will have an ordinary game. There you go.
Okay.
I don't wish that, but I mean, well, I do for Geelong's sake, I suppose. But, I don't.
If he has it 35 times.
They're in trouble. If he has it 35 times, Geelong ain't winning.
No.
I just think there'll be a bit of uneasiness against his former team.
Okay.
I just got this feeling that he'll have a quietish game. I mean, you get a bit of the ball, but he won't do what he did last week when he actually took out a flamethrower and set fire to Collingwood.
Yeah, he was brilliant. Benny, that might wrap us up.
Does that wrap us up,
Yeah,
wrap
us up. Yeah,
we got any other funny stories?
Tight for time, no.
Tight for next who? Week.
Tight for time.
Oh, right, okay. Anyway, we better go because I'm about to say something that's going to get us into real trouble.
Yeah, you already have. Goodbye, Ben. Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Noisome dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KerrsHire.com.au.